I thank everyone for being here. We are one of Messiah congregation. Let's ask the Lord to bless and anoint this Sabbath reading today. Would you mind standing? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for the Sabbath day. We pray you'll put a wall of fire around and about this church and these people, Lord, and the body of Messiah throughout the world. Lord, protect us from any evil, Lord and God. We pray for this city in Kansas, Lord, that we can even imagine a whole town or city being wiped out by a tornado. We pray, Lord and God, that you'll move upon this situation, Father. We don't even know what to pray because it's already over. Lord, we pray there's not that many people, Lord and God. We hurt, Lord and God. Bring salvation to this town, Lord and God. We pray you'll bless the Sabbath day. Send your shalom of the Lord upon everyone in the body of Messiah. Bless and anoint this reading. We give you the glory today, Lord, in the mighty name of the Messiah. We pray for Israel. We pray you'll bring us back soon, Lord and God, to keep your commandments right before these people that are supposed to be your people, but they're not doing it. Lord and God, we'd love to go to Israel and make a stand for you in the mighty name of the Messiah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to say hello to everybody. The sound is okay. Everything's going on very good. We are One in Messiah congregation, and of course there's the website oneinmessiah.net, and there's the P.O. Box 254. We thank Sister Z for sending us some t-shirts here with One in Messiah. They're made on there, and I just thank the Lord that we could be here today. Today is May 5th, I'm sure everybody knows that, 2007. Of course we're still in the month of Ziv in the Bible. And that's the second month of God. Today is the 17th day of Ziph. Isn't that amazing? No one hardly knows that in the Christian world. Isn't that amazing? It's the end of April and May. Judaism, of course, is wrong by calling it Iyar or Iyar. There's no Iyar in the Hebrew Bible. But it's on every Judaism calendar. So praise the Lord. And if you want to double check where it says Ziv, you go to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And there it is right there. It says in the month Ziv, which is the second month. Chodesh Ziv, hu ha-chodesh ha-sheni. Yes, praise the Lord. That's what that means. Second month, and it's called Ziv. I want to do this every week, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people still don't have this straight, but you know, we are trying to announce and proclaim the Feast of the Lord. And these are the Feasts and the Holy Days of the Lord, 2007 for this year. We're counting the Omer. This today is actually the fourth week of counting the Omer. So we're on our approach. You know, we got 3 weeks left to Chag Shavuot or Pentecost. And the reason why we're counting the Omer, there it is right there, Leviticus 23:15. You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. And that's exactly what we did. Okay, and we counted, like it says in verse 16, 50 days. You know, and that's very important. You shall bring your out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. So that's very, very unique, having leaven. And they are the first fruits unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the only place there is you could bring leaven, by the way, into the temple. These are the dates for 2007 right now. I announce this every week so you can finally get it. The third month of God is called Sivan in the Bible, okay? And that's Esther chapter 8, verse 9. That's how you know it's Sivan. And it's May 27th. May 27th this year is Sunday. So we have two Sabbaths in a row. And what you might say, well, you know, why are we bringing this up? Well, most churches should know that every Christian church should know for sure that it's Pentecost, because that's what they're supposed to be believing in. But at the same time, it's also the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. So, you know, it's a twofold thing. Here we have over here, it's the giving of the Torah. And over here, we have the giving of the Holy Spirit. And it all happens in the third month, Sivan. Isn't that amazing? And this Holy Spirit was prophesied in the book of Joel, which happened in Acts chapter 2. So God has everything so worked out. I mean, it's just so precise. We're talking about, you know, a timepiece that is so precise. God does everything perfect. Praise the Lord. You know, it's really a shame today. Here we are on the Sabbath of the Lord, but today is the 5th of May, and everybody knows what that is, right? Cinco de Mayo. And everyone, of course, goes to their little neighborhood Mexican restaurants and gets smashed on the tequila and the whole thing. And, you know, right on God's holy day, that's what people will be doing today. Can you believe that? Cinco de Mayo. I'm sure everyone's heard of that, right? Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, guess what? Cinco de Mayo is not even, it's, everyone thinks it's a Mexican Independence Day, but it's not. It was actually, you know, it's some holiday that they fought against the French, and you could read all about it on the internet, but I'm just wanting to say that it's such a shame that it falls this year on the Sabbath, because everyone will be out buying and selling and getting smashed, and, you know, it's a big party night, and it's so commercial that it's nauseating. Anyway, there's the common misconception that Cinco de Mayo is a Mexican Independence Day. There's the real date it's supposed to be celebrated. But you say to yourself, what does a Mexican holiday have to do with America anyway? I mean, it has nothing to do with us. I mean, it's just money. Commercial interests, of course. I mean, America jumps right on it. Ooh, man, we can make some more money. Look what it emphasizes: food, beverages, of course. Yeah, I'll have a beverage. Yeah, sure. Anyway, it's a shame that it's done today, you know. And I, you know, here we are on the today would be a good day to go witnessing, maybe just to go out there. You know, we went witnessing this last week, and we talked to a few people. We go down by the college here because that's where all the people are that really. You know, they're either agnostics or atheists, or they're just not regular church people that are gonna. They don't go to church, but they're all intellectuals, and they're, you know. So we go out there and we pass out literature, and I pray that the Lord opens more doors for that, because that's where they are. They're out there in the streets, the people. We had some good witnessing. I talked to an atheist that goes to the divinity school at Vanderbilt yesterday. Just think what I just said. He's an atheist, but he goes to the divinity school at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is very, very prestigious university. You know, costs a lot of money to go there. I'm sure his parents are paying the bill. And but he's an atheist. But he wasn't really atheist, because he stopped and listened to us, and we had a great talk. The only thing that stopped us was it started raining real hard. So I said, I think we better end this conversation, but you can get on our website and check it out. You know, we were both getting pretty wet there. Anyway, so it's very important to go witnessing, and the souls are out there. Forget about, I mean, you know, the church people. Go get the other souls, the ones that are running around. You know, I always wonder, you know, and I when I was doing this study, I was thinking, you know, this people might think this guy's really a party pooper. No Cinco de Mayo. You know, it's summer. Who wants to be thinking about where is the promise of his coming or the end of the world? You know, some people don't want to think about the end of the world. I mean, they want the world to go on. They want to live their life to the fullest, man. But no, one day there will be an end. Isn't that amazing? Or you might come to an end too anytime. So, you know, while everyone that was out there, everyone, like, you know, especially when you're young, you think you just want to do it, man. But you never know when you're going to meet the Lord. That's the only problem. That's the thing that stopped me in my tracks in 1972. I mean, it's just like a total screeching halt. I didn't know when I was going to meet the Lord. I was thinking, oh, I'm so young. Why do we got to talk about the end of the world? And just think, it's a promise. God can't break a promise of his coming. He's coming. Matthew 13:24, another parable. Put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. So here's a man who's sowing good seed into the field. But while he slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. The enemy always does that. He comes when you're not looking. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared also the tares also. Tares are not good things. Yeah, weeds. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Yeah. Amen. But let both grow up together, until harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. Uh-oh, who's getting gathered first? The tares, the evil ones, like it was in the days of Noah. Remember that?
That's right.
Okay. Gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to be burnt together. In other words, excuse me, to burn. Let me read that again. Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. So that means right there that all the left behind series are totally wrong, because they have the good going first with the rapture. But over here, there's no such thing as a rapture in the Bible. Over here it says the tares are going first, just like it was in the days of Noah. So shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Isn't that a bummer? How many millions of dollars did that guy make on that false book? Unbelievable. But he'll have to give an account one day, so I don't really, you know, that really doesn't bother me. Everyone has to give account for their stuff. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. So you know what a mustard seed is? I got a whole bunch of them in my house. They're little tiny, 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 tiny little seeds. Tiny. I mean, really tiny. Which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it's grown, it's the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Praise the Lord. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leaven. All these things spake Yeshua, Jesus, unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, and that's Isaiah, Yeshayahu, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Yeshua, Jesus, sent the disciples away and went into the house. He sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parables of the tares of the field. I mean, don't you want to know more about that? Could you imagine, like, if you had the availability to run up to Jesus and say, hey, could you explain that to me? Man, that would be so exciting. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He's talking about himself. Praise the Lord. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Well, he really breaks it down, Jesus. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. There is an end of the world. Just think of that. Just think of that. In someone's lifetime, there's going to be an end of the world. The end of this world. This is the only world we're in. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. So the Son of Man has angels. He's going to send them forth. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Iniquity is like anomia. They're lawless. It's sin. Iniquity, anomia, means like lawless. There's no Torah. There's no law. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, that sounds pretty bad. I always like the Lord. He always has two sides of the coin. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I'm so happy we have a real Father in heaven. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Who had ears to hear, let him hear. So this end of the world, you know, that might interrupt your peace today, because, you know, it's summer or spring, you know, you want to go out there and just do some summer. But then, oh, here's, you got to think about the end of the world. Yeah, you better start thinking about this. You know, sometimes the subject of the coming of the Lord was discussed while Yeshua was still there on the earth. Isn't that weird? I mean, he's right there on the earth, and Matthew 24, as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately saying, I mean, they're coming right to Yeshua, the Messiah, and they're saying, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? I mean, he's right there, and they're saying, what's going to be the sign of your coming? And guess what? Of the end of the world. Do you follow me? It'd be like me saying, like, it seems like they knew through the Holy Spirit that he was going to die and resurrect and then come back one day. He's going to come back one day. I mean, that's really unbelievable. I could say that so much, but I mean, he's really going to come back one day. James, his half-brother of Yeshua, he said, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Some people are not patient. They get bored. They go, man, I've been doing this a long time serving the Lord. Man, I want to go out and Cinco de Mayo today. Forget about these commandments. No, you better not, because the Lord, you never know. You might meet the Lord. So be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Amen. Be also patient. You have to establish your hearts. This is like a long time ago, but you could say it so much more today. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Wow. I mean, just the thought of that. I mean, really, I mean, could you imagine, like, you know I could say this to you guys and you could read it yourself, but the Lord is really going to come back for real. I mean, like, really? I mean, Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He says, the Messiah says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful to know the Lord's with us even today? Even to the end of the world. Acts 3:20, and the apostles always made mention of this. This is Peter talking. He's saying, the Father shall send Yeshua, the Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things. Once the restitution of all things has to be accomplished, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. In other words, everything that has to be accomplished will be accomplished, and then the end shall be, and then the Messiah will come. Matthew, in other words, you can't force the hand of God. You can't rush anything. God has his procession of way things are going to transpire. Matthew 24:26, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, hey, the Messiah, he's in the desert. I just seen him. Go not forth. Okay? Don't go there. Behold, I know where the Messiah is. He's in the secret chambers. Doesn't that sound even exciting? It says, believe it not. You got to learn this verse. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, even shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay? He's coming with the clouds. He's not going to be in the desert. He's not going to be, Daniel knew all about this. Daniel 7:13, he says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. This is scary. Listen to this. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. That is the most scariest thing. I was talking this week to a man that's at the sheriff's office. I talk to a lot of different people like that. I was telling him, you know, isn't it amazing? We have all the court systems and everything that goes on and, you know, the criminal offices and everything that goes on. But one day we're going to meet the real judge, I said. I said, that we're going to be judged throughout for eternity. This is a whole different judgment. I mean, just think of that. The books were open. There's the book of life. You better make sure your name's in the book of life. And you see that book called the Bible? God's going to pull it out and say, you had this in your lifespan. Did you do what I said, or did you listen to your church or your synagogue? You can't tell me you have an excuse. I gave you the word. Wow, that's a frightening thing. You can't say, well, I didn't have time. Could you imagine telling God you didn't have time to read his word? I mean, he only gave you a lifespan, however long it is. We don't know how long our lifespans are. right? Revelations 1:7. It says there's so many places in the Bible. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Clouds is, you know, what happens when it's cloud? It's doomy. It's like, you know, sort of, it's not sunny. He's coming with clouds and every eye is going to see him. That's so amazing to me, every eye. I used to always think about that, and I used to think, every eye? And then I started thinking, man, he's probably coming back so big. He's probably coming back as the universe. I mean, every eyeball, no matter where you are, is going to see him. I mean, you ain't going to miss him. It says, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Oh, could you imagine being those Roman soldiers that pierced him? And it says, all kindreds of the earth, all the nations are going to wail because of him. Even so, amen. Whew. I mean, isn't that, that's like, this is really going to happen. I mean, today it might seem like, yeah, well, you know, this message will be over and we'll get, you know, go boating later. No, but I mean, one day this is really going to happen. Now, let's talk about Paul, brother Paul. He's talking to the Thessalonians, which is in Thessalonica, which is somewhere around Asia Minor, or around that area there, all that section. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are dead, the ones that are sleeping. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Boy, that shout's going to be so loud. It's going to raise the dead. That's going to be so loud. It says, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in the Messiah, Christ, shall rise first. Just think of all the people that's ever died. I mean, who knows where their little dust is? Some people are totally dust right now. But that dust is going to raise up, incorruptible, with a new body one day. Wow, that's beyond me. That's a mystery. Praise the Lord. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Where? He's coming back in the clouds. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Could you imagine that? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Think about that for a second. The dead, if you happen to be around in that generation when the Lord's coming, he's coming back in the clouds, the dead are going to, you know, he's going to shout, and the angel and the trumpet, and the dead is going to be raised. And if you're alive at that time, while they're raising up, all of a sudden, you're not even going to be dead. You're going to be transformed into a new body, and you're all going to rise up and meet the Lord in the air. Oh, man. Could you believe that? You're not even going to, you probably won't even taste of death. You go from this body right into a supernatural body, whatever that means. I only can say what, you know, I don't know what that means. And it says, so shall you ever be with the Lord. Huh. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Didn't that comfort you? Ah, another, a new body. We used to sing that song, I'll have a new body, I'll have a new life. Praise the Lord. Ah, that makes me feel good. Revelations 22:20. He which testified, and I hope we all testify these things, say it, surely I come quickly. The Messiah testifies. He knows he's going to fulfill his word and his promises. We say, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly, if you're reading the Bible, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. If you're not watching, he's going to sneak upon us. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. You're not supposed to be in darkness, okay? If you're brothers and sisters in the Lord, you're supposed to be reading. You're supposed to be in the light. It says, but brethren, you're not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. It's going to overtake the other ones because they're not watching. But it's not supposed to overtake you. You're supposed to be watching, the Bible says. He says, what I say to all, I say unto you, watch. It says, for you are the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. You notice how all the wickedness goes on during the night? We're the children of the day. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Praise the Lord. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. You can say that again. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. In other words, you have to always be dressed like a soldier spiritually. You have to have your uniform on, your protection, because you're going to be, if you're really in the battle, you're going to be fired at. You have to make sure you have your shield and your breastplate and everything. Peter says, he's telling the people the same thing Paul says. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want you to remember this. I can't say this enough. I like to say this almost every day. I want to stir up your minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. You could trust those holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, oh, where is the promise of his coming? I'm so tired of hearing that. I've been going to church for 50 years. Where is he? Or you might say, for since the fathers fell asleep, oh man, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, things are just going on every day the same. Where is he? But they forgot the promise of his coming. They're willingly ignorant of, by the word of God, the heavens that were of old, and the earth was standing out of the water, right? Remember that? There was no flood at one time. Then all of a sudden, and then in the water, this we can't even imagine that, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Just think, people made fun at Noah. They said, oh man, you're just a crazy dude, man. It's too beautiful out here to go follow you. What judgment's coming? What are you talking about? But it happened. There was a flood. It says, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word. You know that word that was faithful, that God said there was going to be a flood and it happened? By the same word, are kept in store this time, reserved unto fire. You know when you go get a reservation at a restaurant, you got your seat reserved? There's a reservation for this planet. There's a fire coming on a certain day, but nobody knows the date. Isn't that a drag? Just think, you don't know the day. It reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. You might be thinking, it's taken so long, where is it? You're looking at your clock and calendar. To God, like one day is like, nothing. There's no time with God. One day is a thousand years one day. What does it matter to God? I mean, it's all the same. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. Just think, you can actually trust him. As some men count slackness, but is long suffering. I like that word. It's this long suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to repent. It's the same message all the time. But check this out. But the day of the Lord, unfortunately, will come to these sinners as a thief in the night, in the which, I don't know if anyone could really, I can't even really digest this. The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. Just imagine the heavens, imagine looking out the window and you're seeing the heavens pass away with a great noise. And then all of a sudden the elements, the elements they teach you in school? The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. The earth also, see this thing we're standing on? The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. I mean, this is going to happen in someone's lifetime. I'm really happy that I'm not young, because that gives the other people, the young people, they have more of a chance of seeing something, you know, that's going to be rocking. I don't want to. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. I mean, everything's going to be dissolved. If you really believe that everything's going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? If you really believe this is really going to happen, that there's going to be a fire and the Lord's really coming back and you're going to get judged, should you take that lightly? What manner of person, how should you be in all conversation, holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, the heavens are going to be on fire, shall be dissolved. I mean, I can't even imagine that. And the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Peter, where did you get this from? Peter, did he make this up? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, guess what? Peter brings the hope to us. He goes, ah, if you believe in God and his promises, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent. You have to be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Not a spot. Whew. And account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Yes. We hope so. We hope that this long suffering that he has with us, that we're going to obtain salvation because we're going to repent. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to his wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. As also in all his epistles, his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable pervert. They rest. They pervert. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, ye therefore beloved, seeing you know these things. You think you can't tell God you didn't know this, that there's going to be a fire, that there's going to be, this place is going to be burned to a crisp. If heaven's not your home, this is going to be gone. Seeing you know these things before, beware lest you be led away with the error of the wicked, and you'll fall from your own steadfastness. Ooh, there's no eternal security. You've got to make sure people are always trying to drag you away from the Lord. Oh, come and sin a little bit. Come and just do this. You know, you got to be careful. You could fall from your own steadfastness. Steadfast means you're like, da-da-da, you're going straight. No one's trying to pull you anywhere. Nothing affects you. Oh, you could actually be led away with the error of the wicked. Oh, come on, man. There's no Lord coming back. Let's go party tonight. Oh, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Some people grow in grace, but they don't grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This message, I probably can't, I can't like ever talk about it enough. Peter, that was just saying that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, he was just reading Isaiah. Isaiah 65:17, for behold, God says, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not even be remembered, nor come into mind. Just think. You're not even remember this place. I mean, I don't even know what that means. We were reading last night on the internet that coming out of heaven is going to be New Jerusalem coming down upon the new earth. That is unbelievable. I mean, I believe it, but it's Isaiah 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Amen. Hallelujah. Could you imagine being in New Jerusalem? Whatever that means. Why do we never hear from rabbinical teachings that the Lord is coming? You never hear that in Judaism, the God's coming back. I showed that to a man in Israel one day at the Temple Mount. I read him at Zechariah where it says the Lord's coming back with all his saints. He goes, well, let me see that. I said, and I read it to him in Hebrew too. And he goes, I haven't studied that far yet. I said, you haven't studied that far yet, and you're in the Temple Institute? I said, ah. You know, I did that to tease him, you know. He smiled, you know. I said, come on. I said, you're reading too much of the Talmud. You got to start reading the Bible. Anyway, the scriptures indicate in many places this two comings of the Messiah. You know, he came the first time, we all know, which was foretold by the prophets. But no one ever, a lot of people don't talk about he's coming back again. The same Jesus. Peter says, this same Jesus whom you crucified, he's coming back. Anyway, Isaiah 66:15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire. Oh, I mean, he's not coming with a big box of cherries? That hurts my feelings. He's coming with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind. He's going to render his anger with fury and rebukes with flames of fire. I mean, I can't even imagine that. You know how, like, you get mad at somebody? That's nothing compared to how when the Lord gets mad. For by fire and by his sword, that's the word, ugh, will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Of course, because nobody wants to follow his word. Amos 5:18 says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. For what end is it to you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Remember that? He's coming in the clouds. I want to be, I mean, if I'm there, I want to be, I can see people trying to jump up. I want to get out of here. It says, for the day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if you fled from a lion. Could you imagine running away from a lion and all of a sudden a bear met you? You ever see a bear? Those bears? They're not, that's the most frightening thing. It says, or went into a house and you leaned against a wall and a serpent bit him. So shall the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Really? I thought the Lord, I always hear the church people, they can't wait for the Lord to come back. It's going to be day of singing, and they all like doing their little thing. That's not in this Bible. Obadiah, remember him? Obadiah? Ovadia in Hebrew? Ovadia. For the day of the Lord is near on all the heathen. This is so, he makes it so simple. Forget all that intellectual jargon. He says, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. That's so simple. As you do, it will be done unto you. Thy reward shall return upon your own head. In other words, you're going to get whatever you put into this. Isaiah 26:21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place. That scares me, because he's in some place, wherever that is. He's coming out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for the, what? For their iniquity. That's anomia, their lack of Torah. The earth also shall be, listen to this, disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Ugh. There's going to be nobody buried anymore. Isaiah 30:27. Behold, the name of the, it says, behold, the name of the Lord cometh. The name of the Lord cometh from afar. Isn't that interesting? The name of the Lord comes from far. Burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, his tongue as a devouring. I love the way that says that. The name of the Lord cometh from far. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Oh, boy. Think it's a good idea to be a sinner? You better know what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. Oh. Psalm 98:9. Let's see if David has a different message. Maybe he's got a different message. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Wow. Psalm 50 verse 3. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. There's that fire shall devour before him. It shall be very tempestuous round about him. It's going to be, you know, like whirlwinds and tornadoes. It's going to be like, he's going to come back like a whirlwind. Unbelievable. Psalm 62:1, 62 verse 1. Truly my soul wait upon God, for he cometh, from him cometh my salvation. Amen. Isaiah 40:10. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Praise the Lord. Nobody ever talks about the Lord's coming back. I don't ever hear that too much. You definitely don't hear that in Catholicism. I don't hear about that. You don't hear that in Judaism. Zechariah 14:5. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. This is the verse I showed the man in Israel. He was shocked when he read this. It says, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, and ye shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. This is the part that shocked him. And the Lord my God shall come, and all his kodeshim, his saints, with thee. The guy was like shocked. I said, do you know God's coming back? That means he had to be here. He's coming back. The Lord's going to come. God's coming. He goes, God's coming? He never even heard of that. I said, it says right in the Zechariah. And look, he's coming back with all his saints. Well, that's funny. Seventh-day Adventists think everyone's sleeping in the dust. No, the body's in the dust. The spirit goes back to God who gave it. It's a great mystery. God's coming back with his saints, and the dust is going to have a new body, and somehow, I don't understand it. It's beyond me. Joel, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the Lord cometh. For the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. I bet it's coming so fast. In our time, you know, the way we look at things, it seems like it's taking forever. But God, in God's way God looks at it, it's probably, can't even snap your fingers fast enough. Micah, for behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place. He will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. Zechariah 14:1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Jude, he must have memorized this. He said, Enoch also. Remember Enoch? He's the man before the flood. Remember Enoch? He was great, Enoch. He's the seventh from Adam. Number seven, very important. He prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Just think, he knew that way back then, before the flood. If you want to know the end of the world, make sure you study the beginning of the Bible. Of course, the beginning tells the end. Mark 9:1, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 2:12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty. Boy, I really hope I hope that Donald Trump repents. He's pretty lofty, isn't he? Yeah. But he might repent. You never know. Because the day of the Lord is going to be upon everyone that's proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon, they have the biggest trees there, but they're going to be brought low, that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, you know, they're mighty. And upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, anything that's lifted up, and upon every high tower and every fenced wall, and upon the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pitchers, and the loftiness of man. You know, everybody's got their pitchers, you know, they're so fantastic. But the loftiness, highness of man shall be brought down, shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Just think of all the art galleries. Everyone's indubitably, that is a wonderful piece of art. Boink, they're going to go, it's going to be nothing. In the end, only God's going to be exalted in that day. The idols, he shall utterly abolish. And America has the nerve to have American Idol. Isn't that sickening? I hate that. They even put that on the news. I say, what, that isn't news? How dare you put that on the news, American Idol? That's an abomination. All the idols are going to be brought low, whether you're American or not. And they shall go into the, listen to this, they're going to go into the holes and of the rock and into the caves of the earth when the Lord comes back, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Could you imagine dealing with a God that can shake this earth like nothing? Oh, man. In that day, a man shall cast, you know how scared you're going to be? You're going to cast your idols of silver. You know how you wanted to save all your silver and it's my wonderful, you know, all your things. You're going to say, cast your silver and your idols of gold, which they've made each one for himself to worship. They're going to cast them to the moles and to the bats. Get out of here. Could you imagine that? when you see the Lord, I mean, everything that you got is going to be like, It says, to the clefts of the rock and the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Lord. Could you imagine that much fear? And for the glory of his majesty, when he's going to, you know, when you see something, he's going to rise and shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? How dare you be afraid of the face of man when I'm God? Ooh. Isaiah 13:6. How? You know what how is? How? For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from El Shaddai, the Almighty. Oh, therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid, and pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. God always uses the woman in travail. If anyone had children, you know how that feels, right? Pike, it's murder in pure English. God always used as that as an example. As a pain, as a woman that travaileth, they shall be amazed one at another face, and shall be as flames. Oh, how horrible. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, both cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners. I read that thereof out of it. Listen to this. This is what Peter says. The stars of heaven and the constellations shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause a light to shine. Listen to this. God says, and I will punish the world for their evil. Wow, that's a God. He's going to punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I shake the heavens. Could you imagine a God that could shake the heavens? And the earth shall remove out of her place. Could you imagine being able to knock the earth right off its axis? In the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. I cannot figure out, when I read some of these verses, I have no idea where they may turn God into this make-believe jingle bells, sweet little God that is coming back with the basket of like cream puffs and going to give them to everybody. You know, 34:4 of Isaiah, and all the host of heaven. Uh-oh, Peter read this. Remember we just read this in Peter. All the host of heaven is going to be dissolved. Remember that? And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls off from off the vine, and as the falling fig from the fig tree. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. Oh. Seek ye, and this is what I tell everybody. I say to myself, you better go seek out of the book of the Lord. Forget about everybody else's books. Forget about everybody else's text. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. You know why? Because not one of these things are going to fail. None shall lack her mate, right? For my mouth had commanded, and his spirit, it had gathered them. You could trust the word of God. Forget about everybody else's books. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 46:10, for this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts had a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Ezekiel 30 verse 3, for the day is near. Even the day of the Lord is near. It really is near. It's a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen, because they're not watching. Isn't that amazing? It's near. The same message. I see all these prophets, they all have the same message, no matter who it is. From Ezekiel to Isaiah to Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, everybody. Jesus says he's coming with clouds. Joel, alas for the day. The day of the Lord is at hand. Just think, this is like thousands of years ago, but these people had so much fear that it was at hand. They knew, they felt like the Lord was coming right now. I got to be right with God right now, because he's coming. He might come right now. But nobody has that kind of fear anymore. They go, I got plenty of time. I'll pray next week. I'll go witnessing next month. I'll read the Bible. I got 2 seconds of reading in last week. That's like not these guys. These guys, the day of the Lord is so near. Oh, I can't do enough. I mean, if you really believe the day of the Lord is near, you'd be like, you'd be like going full blast, because it might be right now. It might come right now. Imagine if you had that feeling, that real fear that it could be right now. Oh, man. That's the kind of fear I pray for. Please, I'd love to have that. Let me have it more. Oh, yeah. It's going to come as a destruction from the Almighty. I mean, that's going to be scary. And these guys are just thousands of years ago, and they had the fear. That's why they're writing this. They want you to go blow the trumpet and sound the alarm in the holy mountain. It says, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It's nigh at hand. Do you realize how nigh it is? Ugh. Just think, I mean, one day we're really going to give, like, just think, whatever you do, like, let's say you died right now. That means that's what you get judged for, everything you did. You can't come back and say, well, give me another chance. Let me do a little more. No, it's finished. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Whew, his camp is very great, for he's strong to execute his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Who's going to be able to say, well, I don't want to participate. I'm Bill Gates. I got billions. God don't know me. Yeah, sure. He's going to be crying. If he don't repent, he'll be crying like a baby like everybody else. The sun shall be turned in. What are you going to do if the sun turns into darkness? No matter how much money you got. Think about that. Picture, let's see, I can't do it right now, but let's say there's a dot. In the scheme of things, let's say the earth is just this dot. In the scheme of the whole universe, which is nothing to God, you could be a super billionaire, the most richest guy on the earth, right? That dot. But in the scheme of things, you're nothing. I mean, really, in your own mind, in this world's games, you're big time. But in God, I mean, you're just a dot, and then the universe is so beyond people's belief. But God is bigger than that. He made it. He's outside it. Oh, man. Joel says, multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision, if they just repent, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Could you decide today to serve the Lord and repent? Yeah, I hope so. I do. Zephaniah, who's he? Oh, Zephaniah, remember him? We read that the other day, didn't we? He said, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. They all say the same thing. The day of the Lord is at hand. That gives me the feeling of like they had so much fear that they're like, you know, picture like shaking, the day of the Lord is at hand. I mean, they believed it could happen right now. It says, for the Lord had prepared a sacrifice. He had bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princesses. You think God cares about kings and princes? No, he couldn't care less. And the king's children. He's going to punish them. And all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Ugh, what are you wearing? Imagine that. For the great day of the Lord is near. Oh, it's near. I don't want to keep hearing that. I want time. Can I have some more time? No, it's near. And the day of the Lord is hastening greatly. Oh, man. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry bitterly. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine like something like really charging after you? But some people are so out of the spirit, they think that the day of the Lord's not near. Oh, I got plenty of time. Well, I lived this long so far. I guess I got plenty more time. No, you don't know that. Neither shall their silver and their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. I mean, some people are stashing their money away and all this kind of stuff. In the day of the Lord, if the breath's going out of you and you got your stash, what's that going to do? You should have used it for the Lord, right? It says they're going to say, oh, for the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Whew, what a message. Zephaniah, again, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. Can you do that before it comes? Seek ye meek of the, all ye meek of the earth, seek the Lord, which have wrought, are you bringing forth his righteousness? Seek righteousness and meekness. It may be you may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Just think, if you go out there and witnessing and you set the record straight, hey, we got to repent of that sin. And you set the, maybe you'll be hid in the day of the Lord's anger because your judgments are being done. Praise the Lord. Zechariah, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Malachi, behold, I will send Elijah. This was in the first coming of the Lord. John the Baptist showed up. He said, I'll send Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So the Messiah came before this great and dreadful day of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Acts 2:20. The sun's going to be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. 1 Corinthians 5:5. To deliver such as... Sometimes we have to deliver... Paul says he has to deliver such people to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He kicks them out of the church that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord, Jesus. He hopes they repent when they're out there and they find out, wow, there's no one else to fellowship. I don't know who to be with. Psalm 2 is very important. It says, why do the heathen rage? Remember that? Peter quoted that. He said, Jesus said this too. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. They think they're so big time, the kings. He says, he that sitteth in the heaven, he laughs. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God says, yet have I set my king upon my holy mount, my hill of Zion, my holy hill of Zion. This is the Messiah. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, to the Messiah. The Lord's talking to his word, the Messiah, his son. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. God sent forth his word. Praise the Lord. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Here's the Messiah right here. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. The Messiah? You mean Jesus? I thought he was petting the lambs. I thought he was, Jesus, the rod of iron. He's going to dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. You know a potter's vessel, like a pottery, he just smashes it. That's what he's going to do. It says right here, be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Now, all of us are judges of the earth. We're all, ye are gods. All of us are supposed to be judging with God's judgment. Be instructed. Serve the Lord with fear. He says, rejoice with trembling. And this is so important. Nashkuvar, kiss the sun. You know why? Lest the sun be angry and ye perish from the way when the sun's wrath is kindled but a little bit. Blessed are all they that put their trust in the sun, him. Mm-hmm. If you read that psalm right, you'll get that's all about the Messiah. Praise the Lord. We're almost finished. Revelations 2:27. The Messiah, he's not coming back with ice cream cones. He's going to rule them with a rod of iron. And as the vessels of potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father. Revelations 12:5, and he brought forth a man-child, who shall rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Praise the Lord. Revelations 19:15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That rod of iron is everywhere. I mean, it's from the prophets to Revelations. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. You know what? I can't think of doing anything like, you know, like say the weather looks bad or whatever you might think. I can't think of doing anything better than reading the Bible. If I had to go right now, what could be better? But reading the scriptures of God, we repent of our sins in the blood of the Messiah. We ask God to cover us today on his Sabbath. I tell everyone, please be honest. You know, this week has been a week of talking to people that are so not honest and people that give fraudulent credit reports. And sometimes you wonder, who is honest? Luke 8:4 says, and when much people were gathered together, it says, and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. This is Jesus talking. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air, devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprung up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what do you mean by this parable? I mean, what are you doing? He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand, because their hearts are so wicked, they can't even digest what he's saying. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those that by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word right out of their hearts. He can go right in your heart and pull the word out. The devil, that's why it says guard your heart. It says lest they should believe and be saved. Oh no! You know when you're witnessing to somebody, I always notice when I'm witnessing to somebody, all of a sudden I see all kinds of stupid activity happen, and the devil is coming to distract them, to stop them. Something's happening, and I have to go, wait a minute, and I catch their attention again, you know? They jump back at me. So you have to watch that. Now, the seeds that fall on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive with joy. They receive the word with joy. Yahoo! But they have no root. I mean, outwardly, they look all happy. They might hang out for a year. They might hang out for some time. They're all happy, they believe for a while. But in the time of temptation, they fall away. Oh, no. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth. They heard the word, right? And they go forth and they choke. And the cares and riches of this world and the pleasures of this life. They're choked by all that. Oh, man, I can't give up my life. I have too much. Or, you know, I have to, whatever. And they bring, it says, and bring no fruit to perfection. We have to go get some fruit. Sometimes souls is fruit, too. You got to go get the fruit. We want to bring them to perfection. In other words, we want to get them saved. We want to get them to repent. But that on the good ground are they which, with an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, guess what they do? They keep it. And they bring forth fruit with patience. That's good. So these guys hear the word and they keep it. No matter what happens. In other words, tribulations, temptations. We're still going to serve the Lord today. I'm still keeping the Sabbath today as much as I'm trying my best to keep the Sabbath, no matter whatever. Acts 6:3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. I couldn't find anyone honest this week. It was hard. I did some things this week, you know, checking credit applications. Everyone's application, they're liars. They don't even think nothing about it.
Yeah.
Full of the whole, so anyway, that's why I just put this together, because the reason why I'm wanting to be honest, because the day of the Lord's hastening, it's really near. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's Romans 12:17. You got to provide things honest. Romans, Paul tells the Romans in 13:13, let us walk honestly, as in the day. Remember, you're the children of the day, right? Not of the night. Not in riotousness and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantingness, not in strife and envying. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing things, it says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So if you're honest, you'll be out there preaching the gospel too. If you're honest, you'll be telling the truth. You have to say, well, I must honestly tell you that if you keep doing that, you're gonna end up in the hell. That's honest. I mean, you know, you may not want to say that. I mean, whatever the way the Lord gives you to say. Okay, Philemon, or I guess that's it, 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Oh, no, Philippians, excuse me, the Philippians. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay? Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without the Lord. Okay? Make sure you walk honestly with everyone that without, that you may have lack of nothing. Make sure you walk honestly with them that are, that have the Lord too. 1 Timothy 2:2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may be lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Hebrews 13:18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. The reason why I'm telling you this, I mean, you guys are probably honest, but this hit me so much this week, I couldn't find anybody honest. I know that's such a little, you know, seems like such an insignificant thing to talk about, being honest. But if you're a liar, all liars are going to end up in a lake of fire. It's going to end up being a big thing, even though it's, just be honest. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the nations, people that are not in the body, among the world, the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, oh man, that person's always wanting to keep the Sabbath. Yeah. They won't let me have my pork. You know, well, they might speak against you as an evildoer. It says that may by your good works, which they shall behold, maybe one day they'll glorify God in the day of visitation. When God comes to visit them, your soul's required tonight. Maybe they repented because of your testimony. You know what I mean? Let's say you worked with somebody and you were a good testimony, and then they get fired or they move away. You don't know where they went, but because of your testimony, they might end up keeping the commandments. And then in the day of visitation, because the day of the Lord is near. You know, it's really near. We're only one breath away, too, from meeting him. It's really near. You know that one breath? It's just, that's how near it is, really. Anyway, I say shalom unto you. This is the end of today's study. It wasn't too long. I might have interrupted people's peace today. I know it's a nice day out. Praise the Lord. I say God bless you. The day of the Lord is near. And it's really near. If you only knew, if we only realized, if we only think of that during the week, it's a scary thing. Anyway, God bless you. Shalom, and praise the name of the Lord. Amen.